Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Please pray with me as we approach God's word. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we might see the wonders of your word. Give us grace that we might clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom and apply it to our lives. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I wanted to start this week with a little bit of a confession of sorts. For the past several years, a lot of friends of mine have been having kids, and I've noticed that when people have children, they seem to get very excited, and they think that their kids are very important and special. And for the most part, I've ignored that because I didn't really have any frame of reference for it. And I think there's this thing that happens where kids get so obsessed. I mean, parents get so obsessed with their children, they think they're amazing. And I had just decided that I wasn't going to pay attention to any of my friends' kids until they could talk. Because before that, they're kind of boring. They seem like they drool and they laugh and they cry. Once they talk, they'll have a personality, and then I'll start to care about them. Because if you talk to any parent, you'd come away thinking that every single boy and girl is amazing and special and happy and smart and fun. And I just didn't buy into that. Now, something happened to me this year. Jenny and I had our own son, Andrew, and instantly I noticed how special he is and how right everyone else had always been. Because I think it's kind of a universal predicament where we want to think that our kids are so special, but it's not just about our kids. We want to think that we are so special. We think that we are one of a kind and exciting and interesting. And in fact, that's the criticism that I often hear from older people about my generations, about millennials, that millennials think that they are so special. Well, theologically speaking, this is kind of a tricky issue. On one hand, we are all created in the image of God, and we have access to Christ and the Spirit, and we're created with a purpose, so we are very special. Martin Luther King famously said, "Everyone is somebody because everyone is a child of God." But on the other hand, our text today clearly points out that there's really only one truly special, truly unique child, Jesus, who was born at Christmas. So this morning, as we continue our series, we've been doing all of our Advent from John 1:14 and John's version of the Christmas story, the incarnation and the theology that comes from that. So this week, we'll focus on the uniqueness of Christ. First, how he is the one and only true Son of God the Father. And second, how he is the one and only Savior for all of mankind. First, Jesus is the one and only true Son of God. So let's look back at our text. In verse 12, we see that through Jesus, we have the ability to become children of God. But then in verse 14, we read that Jesus is the one and only Son. So what does that mean? Does this mean that we are on the same level of Jesus, as both children of God? No, because of the answer that comes in verse 13, sandwiched in between. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Eugene Peterson, who wrote he's a New Testament scholar who wrote the Message paraphrase, puts it this way: "But whoever did want him, whoever believed he was who he claimed, and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. They are the God begotten. They are not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten." See, John uses different words here to describe who we are as children of God and who Jesus is as the Son of God. But both he and Paul, who makes the same point later in the New Testament, they're trying to point out that there are distinct differences between our relationship with God and Jesus' relationship with God. They are different, entirely different relationships. He's getting at this idea that we are children of God, but only because we come from God and because we have access to him through his true Son, his one and only Son, Jesus. Jesus is the reason we have access to God, the reason that we can call God our Father, because Jesus is like no one else. And if we look throughout the Bible, and everything that points to Christmas testifies to this fact. It shows that Jesus is one of a kind. The prophecies that tell us about Christmas. They highlight this. We've talked about many of these before. They're all through your favorite Christmas carols, that a Messiah is coming out of Abraham, out of David, who would bring peace and joy and righteousness, whose kingdom would never end, and who would be born in Bethlehem. Or we can read in Isaiah 7, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and will bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. And we know from the Gospels that Jesus was born to a virgin mother, Mary. And now, I know we don't have junior church, so we have a lot of kids here today, and I don't want to get into the birds and the bees, but it's extremely rare for a child to be born to a virgin. That's very rare. That's very unique. Everything about the birth of Jesus is unique. It was prophesied for generations. A star shone over his birthplace. The angels were present. Herod started trying to get rid of all the boys the same age as Jesus because he felt so threatened by the uniqueness of Jesus. See, and lots of these things that we know about the birth are kind of radical. They're kind of unbelievable. We've known a lot of babies to be born without this pomp and circumstance, but the difference is that Jesus is like no one else. All of this adoration and surprise and prophecy makes sense because Jesus is the one and only true Son of God. His birth is different. His life is different. He was sinless. He performed miracles. He provided a path for us towards salvation. A path for us to become children of God, a path for us to inherit eternal life and receive salvation. This is why God sends his one and only Son to earth at Christmas. We read about this more in a few chapters later at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but should have eternal life. That brings us to our second point this morning. Jesus is the one and only Savior for all mankind. Just a quick show of hands. Who here has been called unique before or different? One of kind? Anybody here? One of those? Oh, come on. Somebody has to have been. I get called different all the time. There we go. In fact, just this past week, I was talking to Jenny, and she was trying to come up with some more Christmas gift ideas, and I told her how much I like tree faces. You guys know what those are? Those are the thing where you have this kind of thing. I don't know exactly what they're made out of, but it makes a little mouth and a nose and eyes, and you put it on a tree, and then you forget about it, and the tree kind of surprises you because the tree is looking at you. Anyway, so I told Jenny that I kind of like tree faces, and she told me that I was one of a kind and told me not to tell anyone else, but here I am. Often we use these terms, one of a kind or unique or different, to describe things or people or situations that seem out of place, that seem different, that don't fit our expectation or our desires. But with Jesus, we're not talking about this kind of superficial difference. We're talking about a different nature that makes a world of difference in our lives. When Jesus was still a baby, his parents took him to Jerusalem, to the temple, and there was a man there named Simeon. And Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, says that Simeon was a righteous and devout man whom God had told that he would not die before seeing the Christ. And as soon as he saw Jesus, just weeks old at this point, he knew that it was him, and he took Jesus up into his arms, and he said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Jesus is the one and only, not just in his identity, but in his ability and his purpose as well. So I just want to look at that again, because normally, think about when a royal baby is born in England. Like, people get very excited. It's interesting because that boy or girl has a chance to grow up and become a king or queen. But all of that is based on their identity, is based on the family that they're born into. But with Jesus, not only is his identity great, and a greater identity than that of royalty, but he's also has this unique ability and mission that he can provide salvation, that he can save us all. Understanding both his identity and his ability is essential to our faith. It helps differentiate us from all of the other faiths, all the other religions. In fact, you can think about who Jesus is very important when you think about different religions. In Islam, Jesus is considered to be a great prophet. Judaism thinks that he was some sort of rabbi or teacher. The Sikhs actually think that he was some sort of saint. But Jesus claims to be the Son of God. And he claims to have this power of being the one and only Son. He claimed this mission, having the same mission that God had, that he sent him out to be the manifestation of God's love for his people at Christmas. In John 14, Jesus promises to prepare a place for believers in his Father's house. And when Thomas, one of his disciples, asks, "How will we know how to get there?" Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you would know my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen me." See, the boldness of who Jesus claims to be means that he can only be one of two things. He can either be the Messiah, the unique, one-of-a-kind Son of God who became a man, or he's a crazy person. There is no in-between because of the sheer audacity of what he claims. Jesus says that because he is the one and only true Son of God, the one and only Savior, that through him we have this access to God and we can know God ourselves. A lot of you might remember, I quote J.I. Packer a lot. He's one of my favorite authors. He wrote Knowing God. And he explains it this way. If Jesus Christ had not been God incarnate, he would have been simply a man, an Adam. And in that case, however spirit-filled and godly he was, he would not have been personally sinless, for no child of Adam is. How then could he have been our sacrifice? So our entire faith, our belief in salvation, relies on this one fact, that Jesus is this wonderful and unique Son of God. So what does this mean practically for us? We've talked about how Jesus is the one and only true Son of God, and how he's the one and only path for salvation, that he is like no one else. And we should already know this, right? We know this based on what we say. We know this as you drive home, or even here in the church, you see all these Christmas decorations. Everything you see is covered in Christmas, celebrating this birth. But other than having great cantatas or baking cookies or wrapping presents or visiting with family, how does this truth change our lives? Because Jesus is unique. He demands a unique response. In the New Testament, there are really only two types of responses to Jesus. We read them about him right here in verses 10 through 13. You have those who do not recognize or do not receive him, and those whom do and become children of God. Those two types of responses are repeated in actions throughout the Gospels. Whenever people encounter Jesus, they do one of two things. Some people, they drop everything, like the disciples. They choose to follow him, to worship him, to celebrate his presence, to learn from him, or to be healed by him. And the others try to tear him down. They try to kill him. They try to make a fool of him, to defeat him. There is no room for indifference or apathy when it comes to Jesus. Too often we fall into this middle ground, don't we? This sort of cultural Christianity where we might say, yeah, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Son of God and everything else. But that doesn't really impact the way I live my life. We want credit for being Christians without letting it impact our day-to-day. J. Hampton Keithley III, which is a name, but he was a pastor and a Greek professor, and he said, as we consider the uniqueness of Christ, we also need to recognize that this uniqueness demands our allegiance and our commitment as believers. It demands that we rearrange our priorities and we stand as luminaries in a dark and dismal world, holding forth the message of the unique Christ, the God-man, Savior of the world. On Christmas Eve, we have these luminaries that line the road that lead people to the sanctuary to worship Christ. And Keithley is saying that our lives should serve as luminaries to the world around us, that our lives should lead people to Jesus, testifying to how he has transformed us. See, Christmas is not only a celebration of a specific day where the Word took on flesh and moved into our neighborhood and displayed God's glory, but it's also a time for us to reflect on God's love for us, his desire to be near us, to give us a chance to encounter his own nature in the form of his Son, Jesus, and to experience his glory and his presence. When you encounter Jesus this Christmas, you need to make a decision. Do you want him, or will you ignore him? Will you worship him, or will you reject him? Will you let the one and only Son of God lead you towards salvation? Will you let him tinker inside of you and change you and turn you into a son or daughter of God? Or will you just enjoy the decorations and the presents and the cookies and then return to your life of normal? See, this gift, the glory of the one and only Son of God, it's an amazing gift, and it's free, and it's available to all of us, but it demands a response. Jesus is like no one else. He is fully God and fully man. He is the evidence of God's love for us, that God loves us so much that he would send his one and only Son to give us a path toward eternal life. What will you do? How will you respond to this amazing gift? Please.